Blog Talk Radio.
We want to welcome you tonight to the Light of Truth radio broadcast with Michael Boldea.
All right. Welcome to the program. Thank you for joining us. This is the Light of Truth radio broadcast. Once again, no music, no fluff, just straight into it because, kids, we got a lot to talk about. Last week, I was unable to be with you live, even though I really, really wanted to. Circumstances beyond my control. Let's put it that way. Prohibited me from going on live because last week was, well, the week before last, I guess, was an interesting week. But, man, this past week blew that week out of the water, didn't it? Oh, my. Things have been happening very quickly. To everyone's surprise, but yours truly, and perhaps you, if you were listening to this program, oh, what, 3-4 weeks ago, the North Korean meeting, or the meeting between the U.S. and North Korea, more namely Donald Trump and Kim Jong-un, took place. Remember all the hubbub where Donald Trump sent a letter saying, sorry, we can't do this. You've insulted my staff or something to that effect. And everyone was just beside themselves. He's going to start World War III. What's he thinking? He just blew this whole thing up. Look, it wasn't too long ago, 2 weeks, maybe 3 weeks ago. Go back and listen to what I said. It was a boss move, and North Korea is going to come back to the negotiating table because they realize this man's not playing games with them like his predecessors. I said it before there was even an inkling that the meeting was back on. Now, granted, not even yours truly expected it to still take place on June 12th. That moved a lot quicker than I thought it would. But it happened. And all those people that were poo-pooing the fact that Donald Trump sent a letter saying that the meeting couldn't happen have now flipped the script, of course, and are beside themselves at the idea that Donald Trump could meet with someone so unsavory as Chunky Pete. Well, between decimating an entire nation and killing a good chunk of the 25 million citizens of North Korea and using some Purell after you shake someone's hand, I'd go with option number two. Because if this hadn't happened, if this dialogue hadn't started, I do believe eventually it would have come to the point where our threats would not have been enough. And it would have escalated to the point where we would have probably done to North Korea what we did to Nagasaki and Hiroshima. And I honestly cringe at the thought of seeing news headlines, you know, 150,000 dead, 250,000 dead. I would rather, yes, I would rather Donald Trump sit down with Kim Jong-un in Singapore and, yes, stroke his ego and call him brilliant and fit and a marathon runner of aplomb and have him dismantle his weapons, then call him Chunky Pete, slap him in the face when he sees him, and walk away, and escalate the thing to outright war. Would we win? Of course we would. But at what cost? See, if you can avoid war these days, nowadays, where apparently everyone and their grandma's got an ICBM in their attic and a little bit of plutonium in the backyard just in case, use diplomacy. best to, you know, avoid war. Now, there's this dispute that, oh, if Obama would have done it, everyone would be up in arms. Well, Obama would have probably done it with no pre-existing conditions, like he did with Iran, like he did with the mullahs, bowing and scraping and giving them billions of dollars for a promissory note that they never intended to make good on. This meeting took place because pre-existing conditions were well established before Donald Trump got on a plane. I told you people, I like Mike Pompeo. I know, oh, he's horrible. He's terrible. I've read the stories from some of my Christian brethren. I like Mike Pompeo. I still like Jeff Sessions. I think he is a noble man doing work that you have to do outside the spotlight. I think at this juncture, Donald Trump has surrounded himself with some real top-notch people. And if this keeps going on the way that it has been, what, we're only at the 500-day mark. Do you realize this? We just passed 500 days of his presidency. And the list of what this man has been able to accomplish is impressive. I don't care who you are. Now, will North Korea denuclearize, and will Kim Jong-un open his doors to democracy, and will he empty out his prisons? I don't know. But it's a first step, and it's farther than any other previous president got to. So you got to give the man credit where credit's due. I know you hate him. You think he's the Antichrist because of the orange hair. But you know what? I'm sorry. Be intellectually honest. Just do that for me. We can disagree on some things, but be intellectually honest. The man is, to be honest with you, surpassing everyone's expectation as far as what he would have gotten accomplished. Even his most ardent supporters, of which I admit I wasn't one. I still am not. I voted for the lesser of two evils because that's the way it had to be. Because with what's coming out right now in the Inspector General report and what these people tried to do to the American people, what supposed public servants were planning behind the scenes, none of this would have come out had Pantsuit Barbie won. It would have gotten buried and tucked away. And the things that are coming out about what they did to try to destroy this man, even if he would have lost, none of this would have come out. And I guarantee you, they would have done such a number on this man that no one else would dare put themselves out there in the public square and run for public office except their clique, pre-approved Republicans, like Jeb, I'm Sleepy Bush. Democrats would have been happy with a Jeb, I'm Sleepy Bush, because he was like a Hillary Clinton light. But this man is turning tables, man. He's coming in with a flamethrower. He's throwing bombs that no one expects. Now, the future is a little more uncertain because next up to bat, he's going to have to deal with Iran, and eventually he's going to have to deal with Russia. Now, I'm hoping that Donald Trump reads people as well as I think he does, because the way he played Kim Jong-un was masterful. And it's one of those things that you have to inherently have and possess. You can't teach that trait. To understand human nature and psychology simply by instinct, to know what button you need to push and when to get the desired reaction. Like I've said before, I'm in ministry because God called me, not because it was my last resort. I can be good at anything I put my mind to. I can manipulate people to the point that they'll do exactly as Kim Jong-un did with Donald Trump. Apparently, the man understands human nature, and he understood the human nature of Chunky Pete. And Chunky Pete needed to be in the limelight, and Chunky Pete needed to have his ego stroked, and Chunky Pete needed to be told that he was brilliant and smart and athletic built. And Donald Trump knew it inherently, just by shaking his hand. He gave him a tour of the presidential limousine. He showed him a video of what his nation could be because they've got beaches and whatnot. The man understood the psychology of this young kid even before he met him face to face. He may be lacking in a lot of areas, but as far as intuition regarding other human beings, Donald Trump has it in spades. Now, with the Iranians, it'll be pretty simple. It's brute force. You can't. There's no way to appease the mullahs. There's no way you can meet with psychopath terrorist supporters that want the destruction of your nation. Because there's a difference between religious zealotry, such as what the Iranians are exhibiting, and Chunky Pete and his, you know, one ace up the sleeve. I have nuclear weapons. I'm threatening to push the button if you don't give me stuff. And it worked. It worked with his dad. For how many years did that work? What? Clinton fell for it. And along comes Donald Trump and he goes, nope, no more. My button's bigger than your button and my missiles work. And Chunky Pete realized, uh-oh. You can't bully this guy. It was genius. The whole thing, if you want a study in unraveling the human psychology, just look at how this thing played out. It's beautiful. It was masterful. So, again, being intellectually honest, as I desire you all to be, you have to decide whether Donald Trump is a genius or a buffoon. He can't be both. You know what? I'm tipping my hat towards genius at this point, seeing how this whole North Korea thing played out. And as far as what happened at the G7, again, masterful once more. Because the man is right. We are the world's piggy bank, and everybody's taking a cut. And that needs to stop. And yes, Justin, I'm light in my loafers, Trudeau, is trying to act manly. But you need to have a little chest hair in order to act manly, Justin. So he's going to back off eventually. It's the only person that's the manliest among the whole G7 is Merkel. She's got the biggest bite of them all, and you know what? She's got enough of a headache in her own home country, because this entire immigration thing is coming to a head in Europe. In case you haven't heard, the Italians realize there's more immigrants than Italians in Italy right now, so they should probably cut it out. The French, of course, being French, tried to tusk tusk the Italians until the Italians shot back, and like every effeminate man, Mr. Macron backed off and said, I did not mean to insult the Italian peoples. He was too busy buying, what, $500,000 in plates. That's the French government's newest purchase from their faithful taxpayers. $508,000 in plates, you know, bowls and cups and saucers and whatnot, plates, dinnerware, $500,000 in dinnerware. Yes, public servants. We must thank the public servants, people who go into government selflessly to rule over us and increase our taxes. Oh my. Anyway, back to what happened with Donald Trump and Chunky Pete. I know, I'm chunky too. That's why I can call him Chunky. it's not fat phobic, whatever the stupid term is. The man, you know, packed on a few pounds, but maybe winter weight. Maybe it's chilly in North Korea and he needed to put on a few pounds just to feel warm. Anyway, at this juncture, there is a signed agreement that North Korea is well on its way to denuclearization. But of course, the media in the U.S. can't have it. Another success by Donald Trump is like pouring rubbing alcohol in an open wound for them. So they're on to the new thing, the next thing, the whatever. They're trying to minimize what just took place because that's what they do. Now, the American people, contrary to what certain FBI employees have been saying about them, are not dumb or stupid. They're not uneducated. They're not unobservant. They see what's happening. All-time low unemployment. There's more jobs than people looking for jobs. The economy is breaking records. These people are beside themselves with the potential that we may actually reach 4.8% growth. They realize that if this keeps up, the man is going to have more electoral numbers than he did the previous election. It's going to be a landslide the likes of which this nation saw perhaps only during Reagan. And so, of course, they're trying to derail it however they can. They're trying to sidestep the successes of this administration however they can. And I read something that I thought was funny until I realized that she was being serious. But something that Nancy Where Am I Pelosi said, and again, this woman was being serious. During her press briefing on Thursday, House Minority Leader Nancy Where Am I Pelosi commented on families being separated at the border by stating, "I just don't even know why there aren't uprisings all over this country." Now, if you know the history of our ministry, and if you know what we've been saying for, the last 30-some-odd years, you know that one of the things preceding the attack on this nation will be an uprising, a revolution, an internal revolution started by communists, of which Nancy Pelosi, dare I say, is. So this is a woman who is the House Minority Leader. She's not just some schmo on the corner of the street that had one too many, spouting off at the mouth and being recorded by a guy that's putting on her on YouTube. This is the House Minority Leader, and she says, "I just don't even know why there aren't uprisings all over the country, and maybe there will be." When people realize that this is a policy that they defend. So, this woman is encouraging revolution because we're upholding our laws the way any nation with borders upholds its laws. That's Nancy's problem. And I love that they're always using this, families are getting separated at the border. If I broke the law, guess what would happen to me? I would get separated from my family, Nancy. But Nancy wouldn't defend me. She's all up there defending what, MS-13 and their spark of divinity? When does she get to see the spark? When they're raping, when they're murdering, when they're stabbing somebody, what, 50 times? I guess Nancy got a closer look and she saw the spark. But yes, I just don't even know why there aren't uprisings all over the country. And maybe there will be when people realize that this is a policy that they defend. This is what the Democratic Party has come to, kids. Their only shot is revolution. The only hope they have of regaining power is encouraging people to uprise all over the country. Pelosi said, when we had a hearing on a subject related to this asylum seeker refugees, the Association of Evangelicals, the Evangelicals testified, refugees in asylum, that is the, they called it the crown jewel of American humanitarianism. Crown jewel of American humanitarianism. And I read what she said verbatim to realize that Nancy is losing her mind. She needs to change out her adult diaper and go retire somewhere. I'm just saying this is a nice and noble human being. If I were to be political about it, Nancy should keep getting up there and saying stupid things. Because it sure is helping her party. Now, yes, evangelicals are very humanitarian by nature. No evangelical, no American citizen is against legal immigration. Nancy didn't say that evangelical testified that illegal immigrants were the crown jewel of humanitarianism. Because they're not. These are not people that are being persecuted. They're people that are fleeing poverty. I understand. I came from a poor country. We came here legally. Yes, there is more opportunity here. But if you bring too many of them here, here becomes there, and then there's no place to go. I'm just saying. Now, Nancy continued her majestic oratory. And in order to do away with that crown jewel, they're doing away with children being with their moms. This is, I just don't even know why there aren't uprisings all over the country. And maybe there will be when people realize that this is a policy that they defend. It's a horrible thing. And I don't see any prospect for legislation here. So that was the House Minority Leader putting her 2 cents in. And some rusty 2 cents they are, kids. What else has been happening? Oh, yes, it's Homosexual Pride Month. And everywhere you look, everyone's intent on reminding everyone else that it's Homosexual Pride Month. And my only question and concern is, what exactly is the subject of the pride? Is it the abnormally high percentage of sexually transmitted diseases? Is it the rectal bleeding? Is it the fact that you have made yourself an abomination unto God? Is it the high level of suicide? Is it the vast depression? What is the object, the reason for the pride? Because if Christians said we want to have a Christian Pride Month, they'd start setting fire to churches and calling us all kinds of names. But we're supposed to shut up and take it when you walk into a Quick Trip and you see a schmuck with pink hair and a giant rainbow painted on her face greeting you with Happy Gay Pride Month. That's okay. But if you dare say, hey, what about Christian Pride Month? Oh, you hateful, hateful, spiteful thing. You mean-spirited. Oh. These people are boiling over at the thought that they did not get to fulfill and accomplish their agenda. Because if the election, and I will keep saying this until the 4 years are up and until the next four start, if the election had gone the other way, by now there would be legislation criminalizing Christian faith. I guarantee it. As such, we have a respite. We should use it wisely. Because even though they lost this time, they're doing their best to ensure that they won't lose next time. The problem is this. They have absolutely nothing to offer as an alternative to this current administration. So that's a plus. So, we talked about it. Let's get into it a little bit more because it's fascinating. And I like fascinating things. The Office of the Inspector General just released their report today. It's a 500-page report, so no, I have not read it. But there have been snippets that have been put up online. And if you still had any noble thoughts about public servants, this should do away with it pretty quickly. Because these people are getting salaries from taxpayer money, and as such, these people are supposed to be unbiased in their thinking. Their personal lives are their own. They can vote for whomever they choose. But, and however, if they use their office to try and sway elections, if they use their power to try and undermine duly elected presidents, then, Lucy, we got a problem. We got a baby problem. And this is what's been happening. So just one of the snippets that has come out regarding this Inspector General report, and I'm assuming and I'm thinking there's going to be just a slow leak of this over the next, what, week, 10 days? Because 500 pages is a lot to read and dissect and absorb. But this I found interesting because this is what individuals living off of your tax dollars think about you. The Justice Department's Office of Inspector General report on the FBI handling of the Clinton email investigation reveals a bureau staffer that made remarks attacking the deplorables, the voters who elected Donald Trump. On November 9th, 2016, one day after the 2016 presidential election, an FBI staffer disparaged Trump voters to FBI attorney number two. Number one was busy, I guess. According to exchanges published in the report, 1043, FBI employee, I'm very upset. FBI attorney, I'm so stressed about what I could have done differently. FBI employee, don't stress, none of that mattered. FBI employee, the FBI influence. I don't know, we broke the momentum, FBI attorney two says. This is about when they came out with that report saying that Hillary Clinton was being investigated for being a wicked, wicked witch. This is what they are upset about, that they broke her momentum because they unveiled the fact that she was being investigated. FBI employee, this is what I wanted to get to. All the people who were initially voting for her would not and were not swayed by any decision the FBI put out. Trump's supporters are all poor, middle-class, uneducated, lazy POS. You may know what that means, that think he will magically grant them jobs for doing nothing. Well, guess what, FBI employee? There are more jobs than people looking for jobs, oddly enough, he granted people jobs. Not him personally, but being a businessman, he realized that when you don't suffocate business with regulation upon regulation upon regulation, and when you actually let people keep more of their money, they tend to grow their businesses. So, yes, this is what an FBI employee, someone receiving compensation from the taxpayer trough, technically your money. He believes that if you voted for Donald Trump, you are poor to middle class, uneducated, lazy, and you think that he'll magically grant you a job for doing nothing. They probably didn't watch the debates, aren't fully educated on his policies, and are stupidly wrapped up in his unmerited enthusiasm. Can you just see the dripping hatred? How much these people despise this president. Moments later, the article continues. The attorney lamented how a Trump presidency would erase the Obama administration's legislative achievements. Indeed. Oh, by the way, we managed something that Obama couldn't. The World Cup's coming to the U.S. in 2026 or whatever. Nobody cares, but still. Because he tried. He really did. He wrote letters and he made speeches regarding his desire to have the World Cup here. And nobody paid him any mind because, come on. We managed it without even asking. Now, moments later, the attorney lamented how a Trump presidency would erase the Obama administration's legislative achievements. Yes, please, and thank you. By the way, did you hear? Supreme Court ruled in favor of the Oregon baker who would not bake a cake for the homosexual wedding. It adds a little extra spice, the fact that it came out during Homosexual Pride Month, but some things are ironically funny. Now, the man said, I just can't imagine the systematic disassembly of the progress we made over the last 8 years. Uh-huh. All they needed was four more. All they needed was four more, and we took it away from them, man. Who knows if the rhetoric about deporting people, walls, and crap is true. I honestly feel like there's going to be a lot more gun issues. The crazies won, finally. So where are the crazies? I guess to his point, we are, because we're paying his paycheck. So the next time you hear the word public servant, and it doesn't have to do with, a fireman or a teacher. If it has to do with somebody living in Washington that's part of the machine, then you hear the word public servant, throw up a little in your mouth, and then just walk away. Because these are the people that are getting paid from your tax dollars. And of course, continued, this is the Tea Party on steroids, and the GOP is going to be lost. They have to deal with an incumbent in 4 years. We have to fight this again. Yes, you do, and you're going to lose again. And of course, the attorney number two, added also, Pence is stupid. Yes, that's very, very highbrow intellectual of you. Also, Pence is stupid. And he doesn't have nice hair. I added that because I'm jealous of his hair. I'm kidding. But this is who works at the FBI. This is who will receive a hefty pension, also from your taxpayer dollars, who will retire at 50 because, you know, high-stress job, trying to undermine a government, you know, sedition is hard work. And this is the funny one, because see, even with this report, they made it as bland as they could. And they tried to pull the punches as much as they could. Because this the wrap-up of this says, when Justice Department investigators asked if the comments demonstrated a political bias, the attorney said personal political feelings or beliefs in no way impacted the staffer's work undertaken on either the Clinton email probe or the Russian investigation. So you despise the duly elected president. You believe that the people who went out to vote for him are crazies, uneducated, poor to middle class, lazy, and other such niceties. Yet somehow that did not impact in any way the work undertaken on either the Clinton email probe or the Russian investigation. If you believe that, I've got some Iraqi dinar I want to sell you. Because that's about to jump. I know, I just hurt somebody. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to be mean-spirited. If you still have them, you could see if they burn a different color. That'd be cool. Maybe they burn green. That'd be awesome. So, yeah. Anyway, I'm sorry. I diverted. I don't know why I did that. But, yeah, somebody out there bought Iraqi dinar. I guarantee it. And you're hating me right now. But you know I'm right. Because if you hate me, you hate me. If you love me, you love me. But one thing you can't deny is that I pretty much nailed it with the whole North Korea thing. And let me segue to this. As I was saying before, I got distracted, and I apologize. It's the talks with Iran are going to be pretty much straightforward. Hammer meet nail. They know violence, they know threats. And at this juncture, they realize that this president will actually follow through on his threats, a la Syria. So he's got to put on a stern face. There's not going to be any, I met him and he's a nice guy and he's very fit. His face is not as fat as it looks on television. Never know. No, this is going to be brutal. If we're going to deal with Iran in any meaningful way, it has to be based on fear, because this is all they understand. They understand blood, death, and violence. The tricky one is going to be Mr. Putin. Because if he tries to approach Mr. Putin the way he approached Chunky Pete, it's not going to work. Mr. Putin will not so easily be swayed by flattery. Mr. Putin will not be so easily impressed by the presidential limousine. So the true test, I believe, of Donald Trump's ability to read people and his ability to press the right buttons will be if he has the one-on-one with Vladimir Putin. I think that's going to be very telling because Putin is a very different animal than Kim Jong-un. If you want an animal comparison, one's a cobra and one's a turtle. There's absolutely no comparison between the two. Eventually, would little Chunky Pete be as cruel and as apt, let's put it, navigating international waters? Perhaps, but right now he doesn't have it. I think it showed in his demeanor. It showed in a lot of things. The kid thinks he's, I don't know, a rock star, whatever. The point is this. You're going to have to deal very differently with someone like Putin than you did with someone like Kim Jong-un. I think that time will tell. But if we go in and approach one as we did the other, I think it'll backfire monumentally. So I know everyone's excited because they've been talking about it. Oh, that next Iran, then Putin. I'd hold back a bit. Right now, I think we're in as good a place as we can be, to be honest with you. If Chunky Pete actually follows through and starts dismantling his nuclear array, even better. Because, again, the difference between Trump and what Obama said he would like to do but never got a chance to do was that Trump didn't go into this meeting without preconditions. If you go back and look at the interview that Obama gave, he said, oh, I'm willing to meet with him with preconditions. Well, without preconditions. No, Trump said, I'm meeting with you only if we agree on denuclearization. That's it. That's the first step. And they did. They actually signed a joint agreement saying that North Korea's intent is to denuclearize. Now, we shall wait and we shall see. But you can only hope and pray for the best. So what else has been going on? Oh, yes. Bible prophecy's coming to pass. Just thought you'd know. Or, you know, you'd like to know. Apparently, much of the world is angry with Israel again. I know, that's a surprise. Hang on to your hats. It's coming out of left field. We're talking about the UN General Assembly, of course. The most just useless lumps of humanity that God ever created. And we talked about what's happening in Israel and with what happened during the visit and the embassy opening. These people were trying to run the border. They were trying to set explosives at the border. They were trying to enter Israel, not to shake hands and make peace, but to kill people. So, in light of that, the UN General Assembly was, and I like the phrasing of this article. It's good. So let's read it. The UN General Assembly was damned as morally bankrupt on Wednesday after it voted to condemn Israel for excessive, disproportionate, indiscriminate use of force during recent clashes at the Gaza border. So, the UN General Assembly is condemning Israel for defending its borders. That's pretty much what happened. Because there's no military force going into Gaza. Israel didn't try to invade anybody. They were guarding their borders. The UN General Assembly being what the UN General Assembly is, they condemned Israel for defending their lives. Now, and again, another person that I really, really like in Trump's administration, Nikki Haley. If the world keeps a spinning and we don't embroil ourselves in anything overly nasty, keep that name in mind in the future. U.S. Ambassador to the U.N. Nikki Haley made the assessment after a three-hour debate that saw her attempt to add a paragraph directly naming terrorist group Hamas as complicit in the violence was defeated. So we are Israel's only friend, basically. were at least Israel's only friend that has any muscle. Because it wasn't unanimous. 120 nations. Voted yes, and 8 nations voted no on condemning Israel for excessive force. So it wasn't unanimous, but we're really the only country that has the strength to actually matter. I'm sorry if you happen to be from the Marshall Islands or Micronesia or from Nauru or from the Solomon Islands or from Togo. I realize that in your mind, your nations are strong and powerful. But I don't think anyone ever quaked in their boots the phrase Nauru threatened war or Togo threatened war. At least not in the 21st century. So other than these nations, there was also the U.S., of course, Israel and Australia. Australia is not a surprise, but it's still good. It's good to have allies whenever you can get them. If they're not for us, they're against us. But if they're not against us, then they may be for us. So let's go back to this, because I find it prophetic. I find this so utterly prophetic. Jesus said that there would come a time when the whole world would have Israel in its targets. They would hate and despise, and I think that time has come. Look, we know the reality of what happened. Israel was defending its borders. I don't care how you cut it. I'm sorry that you brought your 7-year-old child to try to run across a border and kill Israelis. And you got shot by somebody defending their life. You should have just stayed home and had some falafel, huh? So, U.S. Ambassador to the UN, Nikki Haley, made the assessment after a 3-hour debate that saw her attempt. So the assessment that she made was that the UN General Assembly was morally bankrupt. So you got to give the lady her due. She has a spine. So there she stood, and she called the UN General Assembly morally bankrupt. Good for her. And the reason for this is that they voted down paragraph that she wanted to include naming Hamas as complicit in the violence. So what the UN General Assembly is saying is that it's not the people who try to run the border and blow it up who are at fault. It's the IDF, it's the Jews who were defending their borders. How dare you try to save your own life? You should have just stood there and let them slaughter you like sheep. We could have had another 15, 20 beheading videos if only the IDF would have put down their guns and patiently waited for these barbarians to come across their borders and try to stab them with their rusty knives. So, Hamas, an Islamic group that has fought 3 wars with Israel over the past decade, has killed hundreds of Israelis in suicide bombings and other attacks. The resolution sponsored by Arab and Islamic nations passed with 120 yes votes, 8 no votes, and 45 abstentions. So there are 45 cowards in the UN General Assembly, and 8 nations that still understand what is morally right. Now, the 8 countries that voted against were the U.S., Israel, Australia, and the aforementioned Marshall Islands, Micronesia, Nauru, Togo, and the Solomon Islands. Haley immediately praised the countries that supported her proposed amendment, which was defeated on procedural grounds, arguing that the common practice of turning a blind eye to the UN's anti-Israel bias is changing. Today, a plurality of 62 countries voted in favor of the U.S.-led effort to address Hamas's responsibility for disastrous conditions in Gaza. We had more countries on the right side than the wrong side. By their votes, those countries recognize that peace will only be achieved when realities are recognized, including Israel's legitimate security interests and the need to end Hamas's terrorism, she said. Israel's ambassador to the UN, Danny Dannon, took to Twitter to praise Haley for her work. So they voted to condemn Israel. However, 62 countries did vote to say that, yeah, Hamas bad. Now, you realize that Israel has the firepower, Gaza grazing land, within what? 36, 48 hours? Not even that. Just nice and flat. No living, breathing thing. But they don't. And hundreds of Israelis have been killed by suicide bombers coming from Gaza, coming from the Palestinian quarter. And yet the UN General Assembly has decided to condemn Israel for daring to believe that they have a right to live. A general condemnation of terrorism and incitement was included, outlining that it deplores the firing of rockets from the Gaza Strip against Israeli civilian areas. The votes reflected wide concern in the 193-member world body that the resolution was one-sided and failed to even mention Hamas-driven terrorism, which has seen over 100 rockets fired at Israel. An issue the United States attempted to rectify in its defeated amendment. So, the U.S. is currently one of eight friends that Israel has. Now, there is another piece of news that came out this week that should concern all of us, because I believe that it was brutally honest and undeniably true. During an interview, Erdogan, the president of Turkey, not the fowl, not the poultry, the country, said that a war between the Crescent and the Cross was inevitable. Now, if you don't know what the Crescent and the Cross means, it means that this man, who is president of Turkey, believes wholeheartedly that a war between Islam and Christianity is inevitable. When will it come? I do not know. But the inevitability of it is quite undeniable. We are still living in perilous times. I realize it's easy to get overly enthusiastic about the victories that we're seeing. I realize it's easy to get comfortable. But we shouldn't be comfortable. Woe to those who are at ease in Zion. because the other side has not stopped fighting. They have not ceased in their desire to fulfill their plans. They truly believe that their agenda has only been put on hold. And any time there is a fight, they will be there ready to take on all comers. So keep praying and keep watching and keep being vigilant. Thank you for being with us. Thank you for listening to the program. Thank you for taking the time to fellowship. And thank you for keeping us in your prayers. Until next time, may God be with you. And for now, I leave you and hand it over to Gino, who hopefully is still there. God bless.
Yes, I'm there, Brother Mike. Thank you so much for the show tonight. I really thought it was pretty powerful about talking about what's the pride in gay pride. I really absolutely think the points you made were right on. There is no pride in it. It has to be an absolute deception. And I think what you said about Trump either being a genius or a buffoon, I totally agree with that. So everyone, if you want to get the show tomorrow or by Monday, it will be uploaded to YouTube. And please consider Mike Boldea's book, The Battle Ready Believer. Also, if you want more information on Hand of Help, go to handofhelp.com. We are in perilous times, even though we're under a reprieve, thankfully, by the Lord. Things are happening around the world, and right now it's a time of harvest, and we want to share our faith. Thank God that He's giving us this window to evangelize and share the good news of Jesus Christ around the world. So we just want to thank you for tuning in, and please pray for us. We got a victory Monday night. We went to a council meeting in Juneau, Wisconsin. I did do a broadcast on what's going on in our county with the three strip clubs. We're praying to be shut down. Monday night in Juneau, 30 people came out. They had me speak at a city council meeting, and they voted not to give the strip club in Juneau a liquor license. That is a huge victory. So we praise God that your prayers were heard, and God, you could cut the air with a knife that night, because there was a push by one very liberal council lady and attorney. You could tell there was the enemy definitely wanted that thing to go where they got a liquor license. Thankfully, when they made the motion, nobody would second it, which killed the motion. So God bless you for your prayers. Keep us in prayer as we go to two council meetings in 2 weeks, Clyman and Lebanon, and pray that they will not give the TNT Club and the hardware store a liquor license. So we're in a battle. We are in a battle that we believe we will win with the Lord, and we don't have to be afraid. God is with us, and He will fight our battles. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to today's broadcast, The Light of Truth with Michael Boldea. If you would like to order a copy of today's broadcast, please visit our website at handofhelp.com. If you have questions about our ministry, you can email us at handofhelpoffice@aol.com or simply call us at 920-206-9910. God bless you. They are all leaving and turning upside down. Help me to stand for what's right. If